All right, we've been talking about the short list of gifts in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. You remember what the four gifts are? They're still written up here on the board that he talks about here in Ephesians 4. Of course, we've got a bunch more written, but which are the four that are in this chapter? Apostles, evangelists, prophets, and, yes, pastor, teachers. And we asked, why in the world is the list here so short? And one of the possibilities that came out was that these are not just four specific gifts, but that they really seem to be four areas of giftedness that kind of cover the whole range of the ministry of the church. Agricultural terms, kind of covering a whole cycle, agricultural cycle, from the tilling of the soil and preparing for planting, to the planting, to the growing part of the season, through to the pruning and trimming and ongoing care for the plants. And we began, last time we were together, just on this topic, because I guess last time we were together was Thanksgiving last week, but last time we were talking about this, we began saying, well, maybe some of the other gifts that the Bible lists in other places really kind of fit in to one or more of these categories. If you, for instance, are an apostle and your job is to begin new work and to begin connecting with people who may not have any interest in God or the church at all, to begin connecting with those people and helping stir up interest, then perhaps you would need some of the gifts like special faith, right? To see what other people can't see. When Paul went into a new community as an apostle trying to start up work there, he had to have a sense that, you know, God has been at work here before I arrived, that if I continue to be faithful and try to reach out to people, that God will find a way to make that happen, even though he knew nobody in the city and there was no particular, you know, beginning point for him to start with. He had to have visionary faith that God would respond in that kind of situation. And so we got partway through the set of gifts that are in the other two, let's see my list over there, that are in the other two gift lists, we could call them, in the New Testament. They're in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12. I have to do two things. Having asked you to stick this thing in your Bible, do you have with you the spiritual gifts inventory or test with the list of gifts? I first wanted just to kind of go through a few of the definitions of spiritual gifts that the Bible mentions. And again, we've talked about some of these. Administration is, you know, a fairly common concept for us still, the ability to organize and manage and work with a group of people to get somewhere. This is not my strongest gift. I've discovered that, you know, when I, you know, I'm pretty decent at organizing things, but Karina is someone who, when she was in college, she and another friend decided that they wanted to put on a musical. And that was enough. They just decided they were going to do it. And Karina actually played one of the lead roles in it. But they organized a whole team of other people to do the costumes, to do the advertising, to build the sets. And Karina didn't do any of that stuff. She got somebody else to even come in and be the director. But she and one or two other friends were the ones that decided they wanted to do this. And she had enough of a gift of administration to pull together a whole team of people and just make this thing happen, just like that. That that kind of thing, you know, I wouldn't know where to begin if I was in that kind of a situation. But some people have that kind of a gift that they can organize and manage a whole group of people. And I think by the time they got done, that probably not even that many people knew Karina was in charge, you know, in some ways, because they had asked people and put other people in positions of leadership, even though she was, you know, one of the major instigators of it. The people just took the whole thing and ran with it. Anyway, so that's somewhat about the gift of administration. Apostleship, we talked a little bit more about. Discernment, well, that's the kind of person who can read other people and who can tell, there's a lot of misinformation around these days. And it takes a discerning person to be able to tell whether what someone tells you is true is really true. And so that's, some people have a particular gift of discernment. They can get to the bottom of matters and figure out what something really means. We lawyers need this because with all the contract law and all that kind of stuff, they've got to be able to tell what's going on in any given situation. We'd hope that judges have this kind of a gift as well. The gift of evangelism is a gift where someone is effective at helping people make a decision of what they're going to do with God, sharing with them about God in a winning way and drawing those people to a point where they can be challenged and they can make a decision about their relationship with God, about starting a relationship with God, for instance. Exhortation, the ability to urge people into action for applying spiritual truth. Somebody may already be a Christian, right? And they already believe that they should do certain things, but someone with a gift of exhortation can explain how and why and really encourage people to put into practice the principles of Scripture. You'd hope that pastors have that, because you guys sit out there and listen to me exhorting you to do all kinds of things and put all kinds of scriptural truths into practice. And if I'm absolutely no good at it, either you won't get it or you'll take offense and put up barriers. We talked a little bit about the special gift of faith, the unusual ability to recognize in any situation what God wants to do and to trust Him to bring it to pass. There are all kinds of situations where, I was just reading one of the stories in the Bible again. Sometime we'll talk a little bit more about it. But when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter says to Jesus, "Tell me to come out there to you on the water." Now, why in the world did he do that? Was that something that Jesus wanted him to do? And if it is, how did Peter know? And Jesus bugs him a little bit later when he starts to sink. I don't know if you remember the whole story, but Peter gets out there and he gets scared and he starts to sink. Jesus tells him, "Oh, you don't have much faith." But when I look at that story, I think of the moment that Peter sets his foot out of the boat onto that water and puts all his weight on the water. And I go, "I don't have faith like that." You know, how did he discern that Jesus wanted him to be able to walk on the water? And how did he have the faith to trust that he would actually enable him to do that? That Peter had actually an incredible amount of faith. And when Jesus gives him a hard time later, it's because, considering, Peter, that you just walked on the water, for you to start sinking is kind of discouraging. Right? Considering, this is what Ken was saying, you know, considering where you've been, you know, how could you lose faith at a time like this? But I just go, I'm with the other 11 in the boat, you know. I wouldn't have the faith to step out on top of that water. That's kind of crazy.
But you know, when you stop to think of it, and you think of the lessons we're studying about faith with Abraham, you know, and I think that Peter realized, in other words, he trusted, he knew. It's
yeah.
like we do. The reason we're here in church today is because we have a certain amount of faith.
Absolutely.
But do we have that faith that will take us through? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Peter, he knew, but...
But he faltered.
Right.
Yeah. And that's sometimes we need to look at that story in itself. I was referencing it just to talk about the concept of a special gift of faith. Because I think Peter had a gift of faith, but Jesus was pushing the envelope on him a little bit there and took him right to the edge of where he trusted and pushed him a little beyond it. And then Peter realized, where his faith went to and where it stopped. Absolutely. And what Ken is demonstrating actually here is some of the gift of wisdom, right? Which is the very last one. It says the ability to penetrate into a matter, seeing the situation in its large relationships, and imparting wise counsel from God's word. I think of the gift of wisdom as a lot of times the ability to apply principles that you could state or understand, but the ability to apply them. Ken immediately sees the application, right? The kind of thing that God is doing in the Bible, he can very quickly bring across and see how it applies for us today. That's a big part of the gift of wisdom. Well, I'd love to talk more about the story and stuff, but I need to keep moving through these. The gift of giving, we talked a little bit about that some people seem to have a special knack for finding ways to get resources into God's hands and to meet the needs of others. We talked a little bit about healing, that it isn't typically, in the Bible, it isn't typically a gift that a person sort of has and knows they have, as much as a gift that God seems to give on certain occasions. But it can be beyond just the supernatural aspect. There are people who have a gift for providing a space, providing caring that will draw people into healing, that will allow them to experience healing. The gift of helps, the ability to unselfishly meet the needs of others through some type of practical help. This gift often gives a person the opportunity to use some other gift. Jesus constantly was going around giving people practical help in terms of healing, sometimes food, different things like that. But it opened up people's hearts to hear what he had to say. And so that's a very valuable gift. In some ways, it's a little bit of what we have going on with the community garden, right? Giving people a practical some practical help by providing them a space and the materials and different things that we put into that often opens them up to hear more about what motivates us to do a thing like that. The gift of hospitality, what's that all about? Have you ever been in the care and keeping of someone who has the gift of hospitality? Ever experienced that? People who have a special ability to graciously extend food, lodging, and fellowship, giving people a place to feel refreshed spiritually and physically. And the gift is especially applicable when those people are strangers, right? Many of us are able to show hospitality to family or friends. But the gift of hospitality in Scripture, often when we see people who had it and used it, Abraham, it was extending it towards strangers, people that they didn't even know. The gift of intercessory prayer. I don't know how many of you have heard of Roger Moore, know or read any of his books or experiences. But this is a guy who I don't even know how to describe how he got started in it. The part of his story that I remember is he was sick, and he couldn't get up and go anywhere. And so he would just pray for people all day. And he had people mailing him names, you know, of friends and family members. And there were just incredible answers to prayer. And he seemed to have a special gift, a calling from God, to pray for people. The other story I remember was he had, I don't know what he used the copy machine for. He had a copy machine that he used a lot in his intercessory prayer ministry, whether it was adding names to his list or I don't remember what it was. And he didn't have any money and he ran out of toner and he prayed. And the machine kept running for I don't know how many thousands and thousands of more copies with the no toner light on. Yeah.
He already had frostbitten feet, and if he got stuck out there, he would have died.
Lost his.
Well, yeah. He'd probably have died, but that car just kept running. He started the next day, and hold on.
Who was he?
His name is Roger Morneau.
You guys have his book.
They do? How do you know?
Because I get.
Ah! The book Incredible Answers to Prayer is one of them. Anyway. But The gift of interpretation is, again, one of the supernatural gifts where somebody is able to understand another language and interpret. The gift of knowledge. What is the gift of knowledge? I don't know. Right, yes, the ability to store and recall knowledge from God's Word, specifically to meet the need at hand. Pardon?
We were working on short and long term memory there.
I'm amazed sometimes at the ability that people have to bring back things that they've read, things that they understood at some other time, just at the right time to connect with someone's need. The gift of mercy, not everybody has this. Right? The capacity to feel sympathy with those in need, especially people who are suffering, and to show sympathy in some practical way with a cheerful spirit to encourage them. We're glad when nurses, people in healthcare have that kind of a gift. Not all of them do. I did?
You're saying the magic word.
Mercy? Oh, no. Nurses. The missionary gift is the ability to minister across cultural boundaries. We talked a little bit about that. That it takes a special set of gifts and a special gift to be willing to leave your family behind and learn a new language and take up work in an unentered area. The gift of miracles, again, it's a supernatural gift. The gift of prophecy primarily refers to somebody that God selects to give visions and dreams and special revelation to, but it secondarily can refer to the capacity to speak the words of God to people in a way that really helps them connect. And there's a little quote here. In the highest sense, the prophet was one who spoke by direct inspiration. I'm going to skip to the next sentence. But the name was also given to those who, not so directly inspired, were also called to instruct people in the ways and works of God, to speak on God's behalf to people. Shepherding, pastoring, we talked a little bit about teaching, we talked a little bit about tongues, another sign gift, ability to spontaneously speak to someone in a foreign language that you don't actually know yourself. And wisdom, we talked a little bit about. I want to ask, are there any other gifts that you can think of described in the Bible that were clearly gifts from God but are not in these lists?
situations where you can think where the Bible explicitly said somebody was given a gift to do a special ministry.
Do you have parenting in this list?
Hmm.
That kind of takes away a lot of the other gifts I've heard.
Well, there were certainly people who received the gift of parenthood in Scripture. So maybe we should think of that as a spiritual gift.
Physical
strength? Well, that's again, that was kind of a miraculous thing. It isn't something that was sort of run-of-the-mill through Scripture. But it certainly seems that he had a miraculous gift of strength. Yeah. One of the other things that sometimes is pointed out are the guys who worked on the Old Testament sanctuary. I don't know if you remember their names. Bezalel and Oholiab were two of the craftsmen. And it says that God gave them the gifts, the ability to do that work in gold and, you know, all the different stuff that they did. And so there seems to be a spiritual gift of, you know, artistic ability and craftsmanship as well that at least showed up in Old Testament times. So there may be other gifts, spiritual gifts, again, besides the ones that are on this list. We might think of people with musical gifts. I guess that could fit in the realm of artistic and craftsmanship in a similar way. And, you know, we recognize that there probably are quite a few other gifts besides the ones mentioned specifically in Scripture definitely are spiritual gifts and come from God.
I've got a question. How much is a shekel?
How much is a shekel? Well, off the top of my head, I'm not really sure what to relate it to.
A gold.
It was a weight. It was a measure of weight.
Yeah.
But again, I don't remember. I couldn't tell you in grams or pounds or anything
looked,
how much it was.
Yeah,
we could look it up. There.
The stuff I had, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, we could find it, but right now I don't have my finger right on it. Let's come back to the four kind of quadrants of ministry and the different gifts, and see if we can kind of finish. I don't know if we've got them all up here arranged already. Did we get all the way through hospitality? We got that far. Intercessory prayer. No, we didn't get to the next page. Which aspect of ministry would the gift of intercessory prayer be most fruitful, most necessary? If you're thinking of the apostleship, evangelism, pastor teaching, and prophetic ministries, it could probably go nearly everywhere.
On behalf of, you know, the evangelistic work, you know, the evangelists. Now you're interceding regarding things that need to be pruned out. You could be interceding on behalf of pruning the soil and the work. And of course, the obvious one is interceding on behalf of people that are in the church already.
All right, well, we'll put it right in the middle. Let's see, gift of interpretation. Some of these, you know, again, are not necessarily something you can say, yes, I have. But it would certainly fit in this kind of a range where you're, well, let's see, what am I thinking of? Gift of interpretation. Translate this to, well, again, we'll leave that out of this list for the moment because it's a more of a sign gift, a miraculous gift. Gift of knowledge. Where would you most need that? Right.
You need knowledge to be able to share.
For teaching.
And knowledge to be able to share in the evangelistic setting and within the church.
Yes, and of course you can't read what I just wrote. Sorry
that
about that.
The gift of interpretation.
Yeah, that's what that is. Hieroglyphics. Well, it's true.
If you plant it too deep, it won't grow.
Right, okay.
Takes care of it, it's not going to
work. Yeah, and likewise, pastors end up with all kinds of things to clean up if the evangelist either told people, yeah, you're ready to join the church when they weren't, or told them, no, you're not ready to join when maybe they were. So yeah, those things definitely go together. All right. Let's see. The gift of mercy.
Mercy?
Yes. Who most needs the gift of mercy? Ability to sympathize with people. Well, and at times, you know, the prophets.
The prophets need a lot of mercy to be able to do what they want to do,
but yeah. Usually the bottom two. Yeah, the prophets are not such sympathetic people most of the time. You know, they were called.
Not merciful when they're pruning.
Yeah, they were called to be able to speak even when people weren't happy to hear it a lot of the time. Although, you know, we'd love it if the people who have to rebuke us have that gift. But probably mostly down here. All right. The missionary gift. Did we put that up here already?
Missionary.
Yeah. Primarily there, maybe down into the evangelism as well, but that's really something most specific to, you know, starting up new work somewhere. Let's see. The gift of prophecy in the sense of, well, the prophets, obviously. Both in the miraculous and non-miraculous sense. And perhaps down to those that are doing teaching as well. Pastoring, again, I guess that's already up there. And teaching is already up there. And wisdom. We didn't talk so much about wisdom. Ability to see a situation in its larger relationships. To apply the principles of the word.
Bigger picture. I mean, that's the whole point of you tree or grapevine or whatever. You have to envision what it looked like during the season and what it will look like after you prune it.
Yeah. Okay.
You're removing growth that you're looking to make better growth.
Yeah.
What's the definition for wisdom?
Well, what is here says the ability to penetrate into a matter, seeing the situation in its large relationships, and imparting wise counsel from God's word. And the other aspect of it that I was emphasizing is the ability to make application of principles. Well, that's what the other part I was thinking of. Yeah. And really, it's one that we could probably put in the middle, because you hope the people who are teaching, you know, see that, and the people who are planting can see things in the bigger picture. But probably the big picture stuff is more these two. All right. What time is it? That's what time it is. Here's what I would like you to do, starting now. What I would like you to do is arrange yourselves in groups of three or four at most. And you need to arrange yourselves. If you have to shuffle your seating arrangement, please do that so that you can actually see and talk to each other. You know, kind of from one end of this bench to another is going to be a little bit tricky. But what I would like you to do is, taking a look at the list of gifts that we were just looking at, and if you want to add some of the others that we mentioned, like the gift of supernatural strength or the some of the artistic gifts, that are mentioned in Scripture, you might make a note of those as well. Maybe I'll make a note of them up here. Oh, well, yeah, if we're going to put those up here, where would some of the gifts of building or artistic or musical stuff, where might those fit in? Mostly down here. That you know, apostles are preparing the way, but when you're actually going to be building a sanctuary and that kind of stuff, you're down here. And the music and worship and all that sort of stuff. I'm going to just put artistic gifts. For the moment. All right. So, in your groups of no more than three or four, what I would like you to do is for each other person in the group. All right? So, Randy, you'll be writing things down for Ken and Carol and Will, if you guys were, you know, if you arrange yourselves as a foursome. I want you to write down what you think, from your observations, what you think the top three gifts are for the other three or two people that you're working with. Do you understand what I'm saying?